The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Like have it named real well, like, you know, heroes of faith or, you know, something like that. But the Lord's been really working me with, you know, listen, we need to take examples from history that God put in the Bible and learn from these things, because you realize we're making history today. Today, you're making history today. As you pour out your praise to God, as you pray for our schools and our kids, and you pray for this region, and we talk about advancing His kingdom in this region, you see, we have a part to play in everything that's going on here. Amen? So, Father, I do thank You for this day. I thank You for the opportunity we have to come praise You and to lift You up, Father. And not only that, but to gain from Your word, that we would grow in faith. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by Your word. As we hear Your word, Father, stir in us the faith to take our place for such a time as this. We thank You for the opportunity. We thank You for Your mercy and for Your grace that abounds towards us. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Amen. And so I'm going to be talking and preaching about the story of Esther. It's a whole book in the Bible. You can find it. It's in the Old Testament. But one of the scriptures that I didn't give Caleb, which makes me happy. But in the pre-sermon, you know, a lot of sermons go on in the back room before I ever come out here. But the verse was Psalms 5. It's verse 12. We know this. It says, "For You, O Lord, will bless the righteous." Now, who's righteous? It says you're the righteousness of God when you're in Christ Jesus. So if you're in Christ Jesus, ABCs of salvation, we'll just start off there. A, admitting and acknowledging you needed a Savior. B, believing Jesus is that Savior. And C, confessing that fact with your mouth. Because if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart He rose from the dead, you will be saved. Amen. Amen. Guys, that's good news. That's good news. The world needs to hear that. That's good news. But now what does that make you? The righteous of God. Well, He says He blesses the righteous. Then it says, with favor, you will surround him, the righteous, as with a shield. What does a shield do? Protect you. Amen. The favor of God protects you. The favor of God protects you from all the things that are coming against you in the world. And there are things coming against you, coming against our kids, coming against our schools, coming against our law enforcement, coming against the body of Christ. You have favor from the creator of the universe that surrounds you, not partially, completely, like a shield. But remember, you know, I've taught this before. I'm off topic. I'll get back to it. But remember what we've taught. The truth doesn't set anybody free. It doesn't. There's truth out there, and there's people in bondage. Why doesn't the truth set them free? Because they don't know it. It says the truth you know. It says then you will know the truth. Know the truth. And that truth you know is what sets you free. If you don't know the truth, you're not free. That's a fact. But knowing the truth, knowing that you are a child of the Most High God, you're made righteous, and He blesses you, and the favor surrounds you like a shield. Amen? Amen. So when I hear a report of whatever, I go to God. What's going on, God? And I start speaking protection, favor. And that's what we all do. And those prayers matter. The prayers you have prayed this last week, that you were praying as things were happening, as people were responding to fear, you were responding in faith. Amen? I'm not saying people didn't feel fear, and I'm not blaming them for feeling fear. You're going to feel it, but how are you going to respond? You're going to respond by the word of God. You're going to say, one, favor surrounds my child as a shield. Amen? No weapon formed against me will prosper. And when I say that, that against me, it's against you, it's against our community, it's against the kingdom that he's putting before us to advance. Amen? I thought we were talking about Esther. The book of Esther. So let me just, I'm going to try hard. The king of Persia sets aside the queen because she didn't obey him, and he decides to get a new one. This is the king of Persia. You have to understand, the Jews are in exile. They're in exile because they didn't follow God. I was thinking about that as I was preparing this message. It feels sometimes like the church of this nation is in exile. Amen. It feels that way. We shouldn't be, but we feel that way, right? I mean, with the craziness going on, that's just a, just file that away as I go on. So Esther and her cousin, who adopted her when her parents had died, his name's Mordecai, they're living in the capital of Persia, Susa, if that's how you say it. And Mordecai works in the fortress of the king. Now remember, the king just put aside his queen, and he's going to get a new one. And so he says, listen, we're going to get all the most beautiful women in the land and bring them before me, and I'm going to pick me a new queen. That's what the king of Persia is saying, right? Now, Esther is chosen as one of those women. Now, a man named Haggai, it's H-E-G, so I don't know how that is. He was setting up the ladies and preparing them to be presented to the king. But he notices Esther. And he starts to favor her. He starts giving her special attention, special food, special makeup. Right? Like he's taking care of her. She has favor. Now, she's not telling anybody she's Jewish. Mm-mm. Right? Because they're in exile. They're basically slaves of the land. I mean, you know, they are oppressed Christians. But she has favor from the beginning. And guess what? She's chosen queen. Out of all the ones from all the different areas, she is chosen queen. An orphaned Jewish girl in exile is now queen of Persia. That right there is favor. Okay? Right? I mean, we could just stop the story there. It doesn't stop, though. Then it just so happens, remember Mordecai? He's working in the fortress of the king, and he overhears of an assassination plot against the king. He just so happens to be in the right place at the right time with his ears open. And his basically adopted daughter, who nobody really knows, nobody knows this stuff, right? She's queen. So he gives the message to his daughter Esther, basically, and it really is, that was his adopted daughter, that, hey, these people are planning to kill the king. You might let him know. And she does. And she says, it was Mordecai that heard this. The assassination plot is stopped. We've heard about a few of those. It was stopped. And the thing is when things happened in the kingdom, the king would have things written down. So he says, hey, write this down. This is what happened. You don't have this either, Caleb. You guys have Bibles. In Malachi 3:16, I still like to call it Malachi. You didn't know there was Italian writers, Italian prophets, right? I can't get that out of my head. Every time I see Malachi, it's Malachi. It looks that way. 3:16, it says, then those who feared the Lord talked often to one another, and the Lord listened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who reverenced and worshiply feared the Lord and who thought on his name. Do you know there's a book? See, God doesn't miss anything either. Our King doesn't miss a thing. I just, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking the different things about our God and how good he is. And how he sees, you know, if he knows if a sparrow falls, he's seeing everything that's going on all the time. And he is orchestrating things all the time. Okay, as we talk about this story, enter the evil villain, Haman, who at the core of it is a Canaanite. And you've read the Old Testament? Not good against the Jews, right? Not good against Israel. That's who he is. He's elevated to the highest position in the kingdom under the king. The king, I think, was Xerxes. And he demands that everyone kneels before him. There's other stories in the Bible where this all went down. You know, fear wants you to kneel before him. The spirit of fear wants you to kneel. Wants you to get in a position where you are under that fear's authority. Fear does that to people. Did you know that? That's why it says in scriptures, you know, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, right? That's what we have. Well, Haman wants them to do this. And Mordecai, he's not going to do it. And yet he's working in the fortress where Haman's coming in and going out. So guess what? Haman sees very quickly, this guy ain't doing it. Right? So Haman goes to the king and issues a decree that this race of people who won't bow need to be exterminated. And Xerxes is like, well, yeah, if they're not doing what you're saying, get after it, exterminate them. And Haman's like, yes. And the king says, all right, we're going to do it. Basically, it's 11 months. Next year. That's the date. We're going to set a date. This is all going down. That's oppression, people. Let's start now reading Esther 4. I mean, I'm going through because I didn't want to read all 11 or 12 chapters, okay? Esther 4. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and he put on sackcloth and ashes, and he went out into the midst of the city and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maids and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. And she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Verse 5. When Esther called Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. Why is Mordecai freaking out? So Hathach, that's how I'm saying it, went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries to destroy the Jews. They're raising money for it. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, that he might command her to go into the king to make supplication to him and plead before him for her people. So Hathach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And Esther spoke to Hathach and gave him a command for Mordecai. Listen, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law: put all of them to death, except the one to whom the king's holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king for 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. Verse 14. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? What he's saying is, listen, if you don't take your place where God has put you, a little orphan Jewish girl, as queen, you think that was just by chance you got there? That's what he's telling her. God put you there for this hour and this moment. Now listen, you have a choice to make. Are you going to take your place? Are you going to take your place or not? Because listen, God's going to take care of his people either way. You need to know that. Whether you take your place or not, God is going to do what he says he's going to do. But you have a choice to make. Are you going to take your place? Now listen, it sounds easy. Well, I'll just go talk to my husband. He'll accept me. No. He's already, we don't know Vespa or whatever her name was. That was the first king or queen, right? He got rid of her for breaking one of the rules. Her life is in danger even going. Listen, this is a scary proposition. This was death before her. She's scared. And fear, again, tries to get you to submit. It tries to push you down. It's heavy. It tries to stir up emotions in you to get you to react. How many times have I been up here telling you guys that there will be fearful things coming? Have you heard me say that before? Yeah. You think I was kidding? No. As I pray and I look out over our region, I'm always trying to ask the Lord, what's going on? And it's not to be, I want to know what's going on. No, it's what do we need to do, right? Because we were put in this place for such a time as this. It's a critical time in history right now, people, in the world. It doesn't take much to look around and see that. And yet, each and every one of us who are in right standing with God, who are children of the Most High God, who are fully equipped for a good work, you're royalty too. Did you know that? You are. We serve the King of Kings. We've been brought into the family of God. On this earth, we're ambassadors of Christ. And there are things that are coming about our land and trying to push the church into exile. Let's just take care of ourselves and hopefully wait for the good by and by. No. EJ, every Facebook, when he's giving his Facebook every morning, you got breath in your lungs, right? You got a job to do today. He ain't lying. Every single day, you have a purpose. It's a calling. And as things, and let me tell you something. Sometimes that calling, there's an intensity. There's opposition, right? I'm sure when our law enforcement's running up to the high school under threat, their heart's pounding. They don't want any kids to be hurt, right? But I know, there are many of our law enforcement that carry a lot more authority than their badge. I know they do. And they're being sent there for such a time as this, right? And they have favor that surrounds them like a shield. We have authority in this region. And I mean that. So when I hear of something going on, as an ambassador, I go to the king. Hey, do you know this is going on? He does, by the way. But we have a job to do. Well, what's your job? Pray. What's your job? Encourage. What's your job? Speak peace. Speak Jesus. Right? Because guess what? We got to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways, we acknowledge him and he directs our path, right? Have I been preaching that for a while? You see how it all comes back to that in every circumstance, in every situation? Where it's such a time as this? And that's why I always say, God doesn't need Monty to declare his word in this region. He doesn't need me. He could raise up anybody. He did raise up anybody. He raised up me. I'm anybody. I'm a whosoever. Like I say, my friends still laugh. How can you be a preacher? Did they not know you? He uses the foolish to confound the wise. He does, right? Because at the end of the day, each and every one of us have such high authority and such a high calling. You think, well, my calling isn't. Yes, it is. The person you're in contact with that doesn't know Jesus, it's the highest position ever. It's the highest position ever. And he chose you for such a time as that. Whether you're sitting and taking a physical in my office and I'm telling you about Jesus, or if I never mention Jesus and I just keep doing my thing and they see me. Do you know there's two books of the Bible? Two books of the Bible. In the entire book, they don't mention God. Esther's one of them. Look at it. Doesn't mention God once. But he is in that entire book of the Bible. But it doesn't mention him. How many people are you in contact with every day? And you know, of course, religion will tell you, you got to grab them and tell them about Jesus. Every patient, do you know Jesus? No, you get out of here. No, I'm kidding. No, of course not. Of course not. But you're speaking Jesus when you interact with everybody. And you know who needs Jesus? Everybody. Did I get off topic? Verse 15, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai. This is important. This is so important. Verse 16, she says, go and gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And look what she says. If I perish, I perish. Listen, when God sends you, it's up to him to take care of things. And if we've already watched the end of the ball game, I know where I've been assigned. I'm going to go. Not in my own strength, but in his, and accomplish whatever he wants done, because we win. If I perish, I perish. That's what she says. But she also says, pray for me. That's what she's saying. Pray for me. Guys, when you hear something going on, pray. It matters. There's power in prayer. If one will chase 1,000 and two will chase 10,000, how many are we chasing in this room? I ain't got a good enough calculator. A lot. The people listening on the radio, listening on Facebook, when they start praying in faith and believing, there's power in that, people. And she knew. That's why she had them do it. Okay. So Esther goes in, and guess what? Golden scepter comes. He accepts her. Why? She has favor. She has favor. She was put in that position. That's what I always say. If God has taken us this far, is he all of a sudden going to say, well, that's it, I'm done, I'm out, you're on your own, Monty? I hope not, because I'm sunk. If he's taking you this far, he'll keep taking you. Why would he drop you off here? He didn't drop her off. So Esther goes to the king. And see, this is, again, lean not on your own understanding. To me, I'm going to the king saying, listen, they've made a decree to kill all my people. You need to stop it now, okay? Really? That's the whole point of this. What does she do? She goes in and sets up a banquet for Haman. Let me tell you something. That little Jewish girl, that didn't come from her. She had put her life in God's hands, and he started leading her. They set up a banquet for Haman, the bad guy. Now, Haman thinks he'll be rewarded. And he sees Mordecai in his not bowing. And so he says, you know what? Set up some gallows. We're going to hang him. We're going to hang him, them, the whole thing. And the night before the banquet, the king can't sleep. So he says, hey, go get them books that we write stuff down in and start reading them to me. And guess what happens? He hears that story about this guy named Mordecai. And he's like, huh. Esther 6, verse 5. The king's servant said to him, Haman's out there standing in the court. And the king says, let him come in. So Haman came in. The king asked him, what shall be done for a man whom the king delights to honor? Now, Haman thought in his heart, whom would be the king? Who would the king delight to honor more than me? Ooh, this must be for me. Yes. And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought, which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a royal crest placed on its head. Then let this robe and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the man whom the king delights to honor. Then parade him on horseback through the city square, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. I mean, talk about puffed up, right? Here we go. And the king said to Haman, hurry, take the robe and the horse as you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai. Huh? The Jew who sits within the king's gate. Leave nothing undone of all that you have spoken. There's your plot twist. Huh? What happened? So, now Haman knows not to mess with the king. So Haman took the robe and the horse, arrayed Mordecai, and led him on horseback through the city square, and proclaimed before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. You think the enemy wasn't put on notice? This isn't going down the way you think. You see, the enemy has been put on notice. Things aren't going to go the way the enemy thinks. Now Esther has the banquet and tells the king that she is Jewish and that Haman was behind wanting her and Mordecai and all the Jews killed. Actually, the king sends Haman to be hung on the gallows that he set up and his family, actually. Now here's the thing. You can read the whole story. This decree to kill the Jews the next March, what we are March of the year, is still in effect. And the king can't take out that decree. Even an earthly king wouldn't go back on his own word. Who do we serve? A heavenly king who won't go back on his word. So you say, well, what are they going to do? King basically puts Mordecai in charge and says, listen, maybe you should make a decree. I can't take away the one we already did. What are you going to do? And he basically says, okay, all the Jews, you fight against anybody that comes for you. You fight them. You have been empowered to stand up and battle against anyone that comes against you. It put the enemy on notice that God's people was going to fight. And not only were they going to fight, but it's interesting, when Haman goes back after parading Mordecai around, he goes back to his wife, who was kind of instrumental in setting all this up. They were evil plotting. And you know what she recognized right then? She basically says, if you read the scripture, she says, okay, this is Montyism. Haman, we in trouble because he's a Jew. She recognized he serves the Most High God. We're in trouble. That's what she recognized right there. We're done. Even before the king did all his stuff, she knew. Listen, the enemy knows he's defeated. But are we going to take our place? Are we going to walk out that victory that's already been done for us? See, are you going to?
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you, oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse. I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Love will lead me.